Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null. I don't love you anymore.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, you're going to find out how meditation and yoga can reverse DNA reactions which cause stress. Coventry University had this article. It was published in Frontiers in Immunology, a peer-reviewed journal, and you'll be hearing about it today. Not only will it just de-stress you, it can literally reverse your DNA, and that's a good thing for all the people distressed and anxious in our society. We have about 12 more articles following that. Then we have some nice audio clips to share with you. One is that, what was life like aboard a slave ship? I'm going to be doing a historical series. I'm going to show you the truth about Thomas Jefferson. Was he brilliant? Yes, he was. Was he a racist? Yes, he was. How did he talk against racism and slavery, but then owned over 400 slaves? Contradictions. We'll talk about that from historians and African Americans and descendants of his mistress on that part of our segment of our program, and it'll be a different part of history every single day. Also, why are millennials struggling to pay their rent? This is something we all need to hear, because if it's going to happen to millennials, it'll happen to others as well. I have a couple newsmaker updates. I'll be sharing my own commentary, plus John Whitehead from Global Research on the tyranny of the police state, and I have my own comments and commentary as well on that subject. I'll be taking your calls on our line, and we have a voicemail line that you can call in and share a point of view and a question if you wish. Let me give you that number, 862-800-6805, 862-800-6805. We are just getting in our figures, and to give you an idea, the audience, one of the streaming services that have used the Progressive Radio Network, my radio show, 10 million monthly listeners. That's just one of about, I think, 16 to 19 streaming services. So more and more people all over the world are tuning in and going to our PRN.fm to look at the articles. I personally post all the articles, probably about, well, Richard Gale posts a bunch, and then I post kind of unique ones. I love nature and animals, but also what's happening around the world that we should know about. So those are free. You don't have to sign up for anything. And those are on personal Facebook. We're also aware that Facebook and Google are censoring a lot of internet, as is YouTube. For example, they've been meeting with members of Congress to take anything that challenges vaccine safety and efficacy off. Well, we have an awful lot on that, including four award-winning documentaries, plus any articles that challenge GMOs, anything that challenges pharmaceutical-based medicine. So virtually everything this program stands for could be censored. So we are finding other platforms as we speak for our videos, our information. So if we do get censored, we haven't thus far, but if we do, before that happens, you'll know that we have a backup plan so we won't miss a beat sharing information every day. So we have a lot to share with you, and we always begin with the latest on health and healing. One of the things I do, and it confuses people, you have no idea how many times people have come in the office and said, well, I've got such and such condition, and I was told I'd get a protocol, and I said, well, let's slow it down. What you don't know is how broad-based this protocol can be. Do you enjoy your life? What kind of question is that? How much B6 do I need? No. Do you enjoy your life? Are you living an authentic life? Do you have quality relationships? Are you lonely? Do you enjoy helping other people? I didn't come here to get a lecture on life. I came here to get a protocol. Then I'm in the wrong place. You are. You're not going to be prepared for my message. And they get up and leave. It has happened many times. And because people have this monotheistic idea that there is only a single thing that they have to do to change the outcome, a drug, a pill, a vitamin. It's simply not true. We have thousands of pieces to the puzzle to our life. We find safe harbor in those pieces that make sense, that are part of our daily rituals. In fact, much of our life is nothing more than a functional set of rituals that we follow through with every day. But do those really represent our life? Do they allow us to expand our vision and with that our health potential? Meditation is one of those pieces. Yoga is another piece. And Tai Chi is another piece. These are simple processes that allow us to expand our consciousness and therefore not get stuck into repetitive behavior that is destructive. You could be watching television, a mindless, for the most part, mindless television, fake reality shows. I happen to know because one of my former friends from years ago produced a lot of these, and they were all fake, and he told me that. People tune in expecting people to trash each other and fight each other. It's all staged. Or you could be doing meditation. They're both going to give you an outcome. One's positive, one's destructive. Well, according to Coventry University, the body-mind interventions, such as meditation and yoga and Tai Chi, don't simply relax us. They can reverse, literally, figuratively, structurally, reverse molecular reactions in our DNA, which cause ill health and depression and anxiety. The research was published just today in the Journal of Frontiers in Immunology, and it reviews over a decade of studies analyzing how the behavior of our genes is affected by different MBIs, including mindfulness and yoga. So we can literally change from depression and anxiety, emptiness and loneliness, and all that produces disease, to one that is expressing a gene in a positive way that activates proteins which influence the biological makeup of our body and the brain and the immune system. So you can have a better brain, better memory, better cognition, better immune system, stay healthier if you meditate. That's the bottom line. That's very important. So all the more to you. In fact, I was just counseling someone this morning, and this person has come to so many of my lectures and workshops. My goodness, I asked this person, when was the first time you came to a lecture? Oh, about 20 years ago. How many have you been to? I don't know, hundreds of lectures. Why? You should have gotten what you needed a long time ago. So then we end up with this phenomena, people going through the motions of wanting more. If only I had more insights, more information. I need another injection of something that allows me to expand my consciousness or be better aware. But you've had that. You're like a 16-ounce glass that has been given 100,000 gallons of water, and you don't see a drop of water in the glass. So we shouldn't confuse the desire to change versus the openness to be ready for change. And when you're ready for change, the DNA will be ready with you. But if you're not ready, if you're still holding on, and here's the people and the characteristics I find are most likely to fail at everything. I mean everything, absolutely everything in life they'll fail at. People are passive-aggressive. You've all met them. They smile to your face and cut you behind your back. And that's because they're harboring anger and rage. Who created the harbor and rage? They did, or circumstances earlier in their life did, that they hadn't been able to process. They hold an artificial standard of perfection, and yet they are the least perfect. They are the most imperfect. But as long as they can blame others for their own failings, they never have to change themselves. So they always cast themselves as a victim, and therefore justify their rage. But they're like spitting cobras. A spitting cobra can continue to spit venom, and it spits it in the eyes of its target, and therefore blinds it, and then it goes in for the kill. But if it spit 1,000 times, it'll recreate 1,000 times more venom. It never runs out of venom. Did you ever notice angry people never run out of anger? Rageful people never run out of rage? Depressed people never run out of a reason to be depressed? Anxious people never run out of a reason to be anxious? Resistant people never have a non-excuse. They always have multiple excuses for resisting. People who have made bad choices and doubled down on them are smarter than choices they've made, but they resist liberating their authentic self because they have no control over the authentic self. None of us have control over the authentic self. We could understand it and master its qualities, but what if the real self has remained hidden? Hidden behind layers of conditioning and epigenetic influences and peer influences. And then capstoning all this is rage at the machine. And then you realize, wow, you're just a big negative. Isn't it time we just say goodbye to all these negative people in our lives, even if they're family members? I think it's time, past time. But if you want to know who walks away knowing that they have a chance of changing their DNA, knowing they have a chance of reversing disease, it's not one of these passive-aggressive people. It is an open, vulnerable person allowing their authentic spiritual self. And you never feel it at an intuitive level, anything spiritual. Everything is self-absorbed by those people. They're like a negative energy vibration that comes into a room. Remember the hippies always used to say, good vibrations, but they actually were right. Virtually all of our sciences are now showing vibrations are real, and you got good vibrations and bad vibrations, and these people just, they live with bad vibrations. So we're not all going to make it into this boat of happiness. Also from the University of Gothenburg, which is in Sweden, comes a study about sulforaphane. Now, sulforaphane is sulfur and its different molecular configurations. Sulfur stinks. Has a bad smell, bad taste. I take supplements each day that contain sulfur. I don't like the way they smell or taste. I throw them into a blender. I recommend other people do the same thing because otherwise you're kind of gagging taking them. But the more sulfur, the better it is. And one of the best sources is broccoli sprouts. And why? Because they improve glucose levels in diabetics. According to the University of Gothenburg, researchers have identified an antioxidant very, very abundant in broccoli, also in garlic, by the way. And it's a new anti-diabetic substance. And a patient study shows significant lowering blood sugar in people who consume broccoli, which is rich in sulforaphane. And this was an important study and at the Faculty of Medicine at Lund University, as well as the Wahlberg Center for Molecular and Translational Medicine, University of Gothenburg. So we have a lot of studies now that sulforaphane or the broccoli or cruciferous family lowers your blood sugar. So forget the smell, forget the taste. Focus upon lowering your blood sugar level. It could save your life. As many of you may know, if you go to, and I really suggest you do, for the first time in my career, I put together all the background of what I did with people with HIV, 1,200 of them. They were treated for free. There were two groups. One group came in once a week or once every other week for therapy. And the other ones came in every day, 4 hours a day, 24 hours a week for an average of 16. It was 16 months. So they were there for over a year and a half. The ones who came in every day, every single one reversed their AIDS conditions and went from HIV positive to HIV negative. I don't ask anyone to take my word for that. I put together all the proof. Tony Brown, Earl Caldwell, Doug Henderson, the lawyer who was working with the Amsterdam News, Bill Tatum of the Amsterdam News, Bill McCreary, award-winning reporter. They all at different times came to do research. They heard about this and they did reports. They all wanted blood proof. Doctors came. I need the proof. I need the blood chemistries before and after. And we gave them reams of information with the patient's permissions. We would give them 2 years worth of patient blood workups, which were on almost a monthly basis from Roche laboratories. And then they saw it. They saw the viral load going down. They saw the HIV status eliminated. They saw the diseases gone and stayed gone. Not a single patient died in the 15 years of the Tri-State Healing Center. Then people on the staff of the cancer research, HIV research, the Institute of Applied Biology, they were not able to reverse. They were able to help people with cancer, but not AIDS. And 10 of them that were intractable, meaning no matter what they did, they couldn't. And then one day, three of the scientists and physicians came up to me upstairs in my lab, and they said, could you try ear therapies? And I said, sure, I'll try. And over the next 16 months, was able to reverse all 10 out of 10. And the director of that cancer lab was videoed about 2 months ago. But along comes University of Illinois, and they looked at a compound that is more powerful than AZT against HIV. According to University of Illinois, a plant found throughout Southeast Asia, traditionally used to treat arthritis and rheumatism, contains a potent anti-HIV compound more powerful than the drug AZT. This was published in the Journal of Natural Compounds, a peer-reviewed journal. The chemical, let me spell it for it, PATENTIFLORINA, is derived from the willow-leaved justicia, JUSTICIA, and was identified as a screening of 4,500 plant extracts for their effective qualities against the HIV virus. This was a multi-year research partnership of scientists from the University of Illinois, Hong Kong Baptist University, Vietnam Academy of Sciences, of Technology, Cooperative Biodiversity Group, and it was funded by the National Institutes of Health and the National Science Foundation and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So here you got it. Listen to this. You got the top scientific institutions in America that oversee all the others, their umbrella organizations, and around the world. And did you see a single word about this in any newspaper? And you're not going to. You're not going to. Because we will never accept that any traditional medicine helps with anything. Because the skeptics and Wikipedia and Jimmy Wells and the buffoonery of what they call objective, you know, editing wins the day. Does that tell you something about how far down the rabbit hole of loss of cognitive awareness of issues are? The lack of comprehensive thinking? So I just want to let you know, yeah, there's good results out there today. Natural, non-toxic, antiviral, better than HIV. And yet, where did you see it in any newspaper? I just shared it with you. Johns Hopkins University School of Public Health tells us that 19-year-olds as sedentary as 60-year-olds. Whoa. Then which age are you? Are you 19? Chronologically, yes. But biologically, much older. Physical activity among children and teens is lower than previously thought. And another surprise finding, young adults after the age of 20 show the only increases in activity over the lifespan, suggesting a study conducted by researchers from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And the study found starting at age 35, activity levels decline through midlife and older adulthood. We should be doing just the opposite, by the way. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Preventive Medicine. The older we get, the more exercise we should be doing. Resistance exercise, intense exercise, and aerobic exercise, and then balancing with meditation and yoga. From the University of Georgia comes a study about diets rich in polyunsaturated fats can alter the appetite hormones among millennials. According to the University of Georgia, new published research shows millennials, that's 18 to 35 years of age, who regularly consume foods that contain polyunsaturated fats, like walnuts and salmon, can experience favorable changes in their appetite hormones associated with hunger and satiety, meaning you're not going to feel constantly hungry. You eat junk food, you eat sugar, you're constantly hungry because there's no satiety. The body knows it's not getting the nutrients to create fullness and its completeness. So you just keep eating. But you keep eating the wrong foods, you just get obese. So that's a good study. And from Osaka University in Japan, the Mediterranean diet is linked to rheumatoid arthritis benefits. That's good, because you're getting all the nuts and seeds and fruits and vegetables and all the good oils, olive oil in particular, and you're eating a lot of beans. A lot of beans are eaten in the Mediterranean. And they make these wonderful sauces. They soak their beans overnight, and they put a sauce at a very low temperature. You could stick your finger in, wouldn't burn it. And they put their tomatoes in boiling water and then take them out and then just peel off the skins, because the skin is a bitter, the flesh is a sweet, and that's why homemade tomato sauce without the skin is much sweeter, richer, deeper taste. This was published in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition. So if you've got arthritis, the Mediterranean diet could help you. Also from Baylor University and Huffington Center on Aging comes showing a good bacteria, what we talk about all the time, will help slow down the aging process. That's good. And it means the better the food you eat, the longer you're going to live. Also, early stress confers lifelong vulnerability, causing alterations in specific brain region. Now, for a lot of you who don't understand why you act out, why you feel rage, why you're always feeling like a victim, why you're blaming everybody in the world except yourself for your own screw-ups, it's generally because of something early in life, something you may have blocked or forgotten. According to Mount Sinai School of Medicine, early life stress encodes, meaning it imprints on your DNA, lifelong susceptibility to stress through long-lasting transcriptional programming in a brain reward region implicated in mood and depression. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Science. This is part of epigenetics, meaning what we're exposed to earlier in life. Maybe we're abused physically or emotionally by a parent. That encodes itself. And then we can block it, we can deny it, but it's there. So later in life, someone tries to do something nice for us, and we can't accept it because we've blocked all change to that epigenetic programming. We've locked it in, like Wikipedia freezes a biography that is trying to destroy someone's reputation, which is a lot, and so it freezes, so no matter how many times you try to edit it, you can't. Well, the DNA can do the same thing. So we might go to 1,000 lectures, we might listen to radio programs nonstop, we might ask 100 questions, we might be in therapy, but it's not going to work until we deal with the epigenetics of our earlier life trauma. Now, what's the best early life trauma release? Tapping. From all my research, the tapping is the best. I've seen it work. I filmed it on people who had been through years of psychoanalysis, psychotherapy, from trauma and still were traumatized. They spent all that money and time, got nothing for it. And Dr. Henry Grayson, I just filmed him about a year ago over on 57th Street and 7th Avenue. He's the best person in America to do this tapping exercise. There are others who do it, but he's the one I filmed him reversing people's traumas. So I know it works because I followed up with those people and their trauma stayed gone. And finally, from the University of Plymouth, which is in the United Kingdom, music sessions can help millions who struggle to speak to lead a richer life. Which means this: tailored music sessions could be crucial in transforming the lives of millions of people whose speech is impaired by learning disabilities or strokes or dementia or brain damage or autism. And according to the University of Plymouth in the United Kingdom, it could enable individuals and their families to feel less isolated and neglected within society, while enhancing their ability to communicate both with each other and the wider world. So that's good. Always like to present good information. And by the way, Ulster University, which is in Ireland, cognitive behavioral therapy significantly reduces depression and anxiety in chronic pain patients. That's the latest on health and healing. We are 26 minutes into our program. I want to also ask people to go to PRN.fm and read the feature article entitled Wikipedia culture of institutional bias. Share this with everyone you know. We are now in the process of writing an additional 54 articles challenging Wikipedia and its skeptics, and we're going to be knocking out one per week. This is a major one. It's a long one. It's 40 pages long, fully documented, fully referenced, fully footnoted, legally vetted, and scholarly vetted. So we need to know that this institution, in my opinion, should have its tax-exempt status revoked. We should be asking members of Congress to revoke the status of both Facebook and Google and Wikipedia so they can be sued for their slanderous, libelous, and character assassination attacks on people. Almost always people who have spoken out, Abby Martin, Chris Hedges, you know, Deepak Chopra, Rupert Sheldrake, Cheryl Atkinson, there are dozens and dozens and dozens. So if you don't hold the same political idea and ideological views, if you're not in alignment with their orthodox big pharma science, then you're the enemy. And we show you how they have betrayed every one of their charters and own internal. It's a joke. It's like they're giving the finger to the whole world because Jimmy Wales, the co-founder of it, and all of his skeptic friends believe they are above challenge. Well, Jimmy and skeptics, I would not be so confident. You have no idea what's coming in your direction. I do. So you might want to develop a little humility, but you won't. Everything bridles with arrogance, ego, in everything you do, attacking all alternative therapy, attacking all of chiropractic. The chiropractor's not going to fight you. They're cowards. I do not. I will defend chiropractic as I did and help save the profession, which I did, me and Joe Lisa, way back. Started the first school in America that actually gave an accredited degree or allowed courses in New York University. New York College of Chiropractic and Long Island University, Dr. Chester Stock. I was the one who created that syllabus for nutrition. But asking him to stand up and fight? No. No way in the world are they going to stand up and fight anything. Nope, rack 'em and crack 'em. But we'll defend you in any case. And that's unfortunate. But that's the way it is, and that's not going to change. But for the Chinese medicine practitioners, for the homeopaths, the osteopaths, the clinical people, the yoga teachers, the body-mind people, the people doing good work, you have all been attacked by Wikipedia. Just think of it this way. Think of the people who might have had a chance with their cancer when their orthodox cancer failed, and they didn't want to go through the same protocols again and die. So they wanted to go up and see, is there any other therapy? And the moment they went to Wikipedia, it showed, no, this is all quackery, nonsense. Lunatic charlatans, that's what Jimmy Wales calls this. Well, that's a good way to motivate people. Yeah, try something, you know, these charlatans, these lunatic charlatans, that's his exact words. And that's not biased. So what if a person says, well, I just might as well give up? How many people have died because Wikipedia's critics and our skeptics were so certain that there was nothing in alternative medicine that was legitimate? Should they be held accountable? Will they be held accountable? Will the laws that protect them be overturned? These are serious issues. Read the article. Share it with everyone you know, because there's more to come. Also, a couple little notes that I received this morning that I want to share with people. There were some people who reached out who said they had some, let's just see here. This is from Les Jameson. It says, any chance you can mention this film event coming up on Saturday? This will help build an activist network for 5G and smart meter actions. By the way, a smart meter gives off 100 times more radiation than your cell phone. And he also said that he met with a New York State Senator, Ken Parker, who is chair of the Energy Subcommittee. He was very open to my suggestions for a bill. He sponsored S-1618. There'll be legislative action in 3 to 4 weeks. It'd be great to build a groundswell to lobby legislators throughout the state, as well as New York City Council. And the documentary that's entitled, it's an award-winning documentary, it's Take Back Your Power, What the Public Must Know About Smart Meter and 5G. Saturday, this coming Saturday, Revelation Gallery, 224 Waverly Place, New York. That's all I know. But I saw a trailer and it looked very interesting. So we need that documentary. That's a good thing to hand legislators. And download the 5G article that contains all of the most important science. That will help. And that's what we want. Also, there was a Felix Bronstein, who said New York Assembly debate and vote on religious exemptions today. So everyone who's concerned about maintaining religious exemptions should contact their state legislators and say, keep all of our religious exemptions, because the state is being lobbied by Alex, the American Legislative Exchange Council, to get rid of them. So I'm saying, notify your legislators today. That is happening today. I didn't know it. I just found out. So I'm sharing it with you so you're up to date. Okay, and before we go to our break here in a moment, I am in the process of hiring some new people. I'm hiring a number, and I mean a large number, of citizen journalists. You must have a capacity to do good research and writing. And we're going to be going after a lot of people, a lot of organizations, a lot of corruption. That's what it's about. So that's one. I'm also looking for young attorneys. Might hire up to 10 young attorneys. Must be young and idealistic, not yet corrupted. My God, there's so many corrupt older attorneys. Wow. Because you're going to be doing research, deep research. If you can't do deep research, don't apply. If you can and you still have your ideals, you can call. Also, we're looking for an office manager and special projects coordinator, all in one. So that's a whole lot of people that I'm bringing on board, because over the next 3 months, a whole lot of stuff is going to end up being exposed, and we're going to try to challenge some of the existing paradigms for their corruption, malfeasance, and the people behind them, exposing the power behind the legislation. So give a call if any of those jobs are interest you and you have the qualifications. Don't just call because you need work and you're out of work. You got to be highly qualified to work with me. I have very high standards, and I expect anyone who comes to have the same. 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422. And we're going to take a break and come back, and I'm going to take on a commentary, then I'm going to take your calls. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome you. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Gary Nall. We're involved in a whole lot of fighting. We're fighting for people who are indifferent. We're fighting for people who are conscious but may not have the resources. We're fighting for people who are not even aware that there's a fight going on for our freedoms, our freedom of choice, what goes into your body, what you do with your body. I believe that that is the sanctity of your choice, not the government's. Not a bureaucracy, not special interests who profit from what goes into your body. They want what they are selling to go into your body, and to do that, they have to have captured regulatory agency like the CDC and the FDA, and they've done that. They fully control the CDC and FDA, the U.S. Public Health Service, the National Cancer Institute. That they control. They have to control much of the media, and they have, completely. So imagine the battle that we're involved in. Imagine a Trinosaurus rex and an ant. We are the ant. They are the Trinosaurus rex. So in order to compensate for our lack of resources and strengths that they have, and corruption, just look at MSNBC, everything on MSNBC and CNN, many of the other networks, NPR, we have to be smarter. So we brought in people, by the way, who were on the original Pentagon Papers. Yeah. We've got some really smart constitutional lawyers. We're taking our time. And how we fight these corruptions, we will not discuss. Because we're not going to give them a heads up. But we're into it. And so that's one of the reasons I want you to take that article on 5G and share it with everyone. If you live in a building, give it to everyone in that building and have meetings. Also, you can download all of the official congressional testimony by leading people. Deborah Davis will be on our show next week. She is in those videos, and she's one of the top scientist physicians in the world speaking out against cell phone abuse and the radiation in the 5G. So you'll have congressional testimony. You'll have an article that shows the actual independent scientific literature with over 26,000 scientists reviewing 10,000 scientific studies showing they're all damaging and dangerous. Share it with everyone in your building so you can start to say no to putting one of those towers on your building. That's important. And then download the Wikipedia article and share it. Oh, before I forget, wow, almost forgot. I've been working on a new protocol for about a year, and I'm having really good results with it. So I've decided to do a webinar on how we can reverse, literally reverse, the diseases that we call our aging diseases. They're not. They're lifestyle choices. But how we can add anywhere from 5 to 30 years of quality health and vibrant living onto our existing lifespan. So if you're 60 now, chronologically 60, biologically you might be 100, and therefore you're at the end of your biological life. So what would happen if you could add years onto your life? You'd no longer look at senescence, the end of things, with the same mindset, the same kind of depressing thoughts of loss, the end of things, this is it. So I'm going to do a webinar on how to reverse this aging issue, how to bring health back, and how to deal with dementia, Alzheimer's, a lot of different memory loss, heart disease, diabetes, all these things are part of this. It'll be not this Sunday, Sunday week, two Sundays from now at noon. I'll be showing a documentary and doing about an hour and a half lecture with lots of information. I mean, tons. If you want to join us, go to my websites, any of them, GaryNall.com or PRN.fm, and you can sign up. And I will be taking questions, as I always do with all my webinars, throughout the whole webinar. Okay? So this is for a lot of people, this is the one webinar they don't want to miss because it really, really could impact how long you're going to live and if you can overcome conditions you thought you had to live with and get your vitality, get your youth back, where you could be 60 and look 35, feel 35. That's literally what's possible. In any case, yesterday we discussed the idea that we are living more and more in a police state, a totalitarian state. We still have freedoms. You have the freedom to speak out, but the government and corporate interests are watching everything you're speaking out about, and they're cataloging it. So you have freedom today, but anything you say that is considered anti-establishment or anti-big corporation can and will be used against you. You can go places, you can protest, for example, a presidential debate, but you have to stay so many feet back from it and generally in a caged area. So that's not really freedom to get up and speak with people. And we are living in a surveillance state. Do you remember I said yesterday, and I want to thank John Whitehead for his scholarship as one of America's top, in my opinion, one of the top constitutional lawyers, because he's written profound articles on this. He talked about what once seemed futuristic is now, it is no longer science fiction. That's the reality we're dealing with. So incredibly, as the various nascent technologies employed and shared by the government and corporations, with your facial recognition, iris scans, massive databases, behavioral prediction software, and so on, they're all incorporated into this complex and interwoven cyber network that behind it is artificial intelligence. Now, why is that important? Because artificial intelligence is to the point now where the Chinese are introducing for students the ability to wear a cap that will digitally and through artificial intelligence be able to implant new information into your brain, but it can capture all of your thoughts, all of your memories. Would you want everything in your memory in a government's database? I don't think so. So the reality is that our world is characterized by widespread surveillance and massive, massive technology. They're everywhere. Every single phone call you make, someone's listening. When you ask, Alexa, play me the Beatles from 1963. Yeah, it'll play it. And every single word you say in there, every single action is being recorded and listened to by thousands of people over at Amazon. The courts, as I mentioned yesterday, have shredded the Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable searches and seizures. And now the SWAT teams are battering down doors without search warrants, and FBI agents acting as a secret police to investigate dissenting citizens are common occurrences to contemporary America. And bodily privacy and integrity have been utterly eviscerated by a prevailing view that Americans have no rights over what happens to their bodies during an encounter with a government of officers who are allowed to search, seize, strip, scan, spy on, probe, pat down, taser, and arrest any individual at any time for any provocation. It was George Orwell in The Animal Farm who wrote, "The creatures outside look down from pig to man, and from man to pig, and from pig to man again. But already it was impossible to say which was which." So we're increasingly ruled by multi-corporations wedded to the police state. What many fail to realize is the government is not operating alone. It cannot. The government requires an accomplice. Thus, the increasing complex security needs of the massive federal government, especially in the areas of defense, surveillance, and data management, have been met within the corporate sector, which has shown itself to be a powerful ally that both depends on and feeds the growth of government overreach. In fact, big tech wedded to big government has become big brother, and we are all now ruled by the corporate elite whose tentacles have spread worldwide. For example, USA Today reports that 5 years after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the Homeland Security business was booming to such an extent that it eclipsed mature enterprises like movie making and the music industry in annual revenue. And this security spending to private corporations such as Google and Amazon and Microsoft and others is forecast to exceed $1 trillion in the near future. The government now has at its disposal technological arsenal so sophisticated and invasive as to render any constitutional protections null and void. And it's spearheaded by the National Security Agency, which has shown itself they care nothing for constitutional limits or privacy. The security industrial complex, which is a marriage of government, military, and corporate interest, aimed at keeping Americans under constant surveillance, has come to dominate the government and our lives. At three times the size of the CIA, consulting one-third of the intelligence budget, and with its own global spy network to boot, the National Security Agency has a long history of spying on Americans, all illegal. So it's about money, power, and control. Orwell understood what many Americans caught up in their partisan flag-waving are still struggling to come to terms with, that there's no such thing as a government organized for the good of the people. Even the best intentions among those in government inevitably give way to the desires to maintain power and control over the citizenry at all cost. And that's how it is. But let me give you some very specific examples you may have forgotten, but I haven't. I believe that the current media should not be watched, listened to at all until it decides to go back in history and hold these power mongers, who are still the powers today, accountable for crimes against humanity, or justify why they shouldn't be held accountable. Let's start with Bill Clinton in the 1990s and his wife Hillary. The Somalia Civil War. Since 1993, up to 1 million deaths, including 350,000 by starvation. Somalian massacre occurred in 1993 under Clinton's watch. Why? Oil. The North was rich in oil. The South was poor. Clinton's first term, the Iraqi sanctions, 567,000 children, that's a conservative amount, died. Madeleine Albright said on 60 Minutes with Leslie Stahl, was it worth it? And she said, yes. How could one child's life be worth doing what they did? But a half a million? 4,000 children under five died every month because of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. The literacy rate before the sanctions was 94%. That's how educated the average Iraqi child was. After sanctions, it went to 20%. But they wanted someone who would represent the strong U.S. hegemony in the Middle East and also further isolate Iran by creating a bloc of other Arab nations in Israel. So who was behind funding using weapons and surveillance of the Iraq war and with Iran? The United States. Then 1992 to 95 was the Bosnian War. At least 100,000 died. 69% were civilians. The Yugoslavia-Bosnian War fundamentally changed the face of NATO. Clinton's first step was to break the Gorbachev-George Bush deal that would keep NATO off the borders directly with Russia. Since then, more former Soviet Eastern European countries have joined NATO. In 1994 was Rwanda. 800,000 Tutsis were slaughtered. Now the most recent estimate is that 2 million were slaughtered. And it was all because Kagame, who is totally corrupt and is a friend of the Clintons, he was getting earth resources and metal mining. It was about resources. Then look at George Bush. The invasion of Afghanistan in 2001, total deaths 147,000, with 6,300 U.S. military and contractor deaths. Why? Afghanistan was rich in minerals, over $1 trillion worth of minerals. And also it was another American satellite to isolate Iran. Also pulled in the Afghan war was Pakistan, 65,000 deaths. Then the invasion of Iraq. And some rationale, as during the Clinton time, was never taken off the table. And look at the deaths, over 1 million deaths, for lies. Was anyone held accountable? Was Colin Powell, who lied at the UN? George Bush? Cheney? Rumsfeld? Condoleezza Rice? Wolfowitz? No one was ever held accountable for a million people dying and the destruction of a country. Then look at Venezuela in 2002. Bush backed a coup by the aristocratic Venezuela families against Hugo Chavez. Why? It was about oil, as it is today. Now look at Hillary Clinton, Obama, and tell me why you would not have challenged her that she was unfit to be president and he was unfit to be president after the first term based upon what they had done. 2009, Honduras. Sporadic killing. Thousands were killed in a coup, including the slaughter of 160 LGBT people. Hillary Clinton defended her stance on regime change in Honduras, forcing socialist and populist elected Manuel Zelaya into exile in a military coup. The UN condemned the regime change. Honduras has been a primary U.S. intelligence hub in Central America, and where U.S. launches its intelligence operations throughout the rest of the countries. It didn't want a social populist running the country that would give preference to local farmers and land redistribution instead of big food companies. So Hillary backed the coup. Obama supported the coup. The CIA engaged the coup, and innocent people were killed, including indigenous people, union leaders. So how could you go out and ask a unionist in the United States to vote for you when you have spent your whole life being anti-unionist? Where are the pro-unionist people challenging the corporate Democrats for being the most hypocritical, pathological, lying people? And yet, there's cognitive disconnect. Paraguay, 2012, U.S. meddled with conservative right-wing party to have democratically elected socialist Fernando Lugo impeached. Lugo was a social populist favoring small farmers. U.S. supported Big Agra, friendly of the elite and the wealthy families. Ukraine, 2014. Ukraine, mostly in Donbass region, 9,100 believed to have been conservatively killed because Ukrainian's fascist government was misreporting actual count. Obama had admitted the U.S. brokered a deal with anti-Russian parties, which were neo-fascist. They were pro-Nazi people, to oust the democratically elected pro-Russian president, Viktor Yanukovych. Yanukovych refused the $1.5 billion International Monetary Fund and World Bank loan due to the U.S. conditions that Ukraine allow NATO weapons directly at Russia, installed and easements enabling American firms and financiers to dominate the natural resources. Remember, the Ukraine is the breadbasket of that part of the world. And Monsanto and all these other countries, companies want it in there. Ukraine is the Eastern Europeans' largest food producer. But after the coup and American big agriculture, Cargill and Monsanto and Syngenta were invited in, Monsanto now buyers, the Eastern European center is now in Ukraine. 2011, Libya. According to Amnesty International, actual number of deaths is unknown, but at least 30,000 minimally civilians died, 50,000 wounded. That does not include over 50,000 who were migrants who worked for Gaddafi on his projects because he paid them well and treated them well. They were all killed. There were violent deaths continued in several thousand per year, and now they have open market slavery, the total destruction of the company, no educational system, no medical system. Everything to do with Libya was about oil. A very high-grade oil, and Gaddafi's pro-Pan-African initiatives to centralize African banking and create the African Development Bank to bypass the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and push for trade in African currencies, the gold dinar. In Libya, then Syria, from 2013, upwards of 470,000 Syrians dead, strictly an intervention for geopolitical reasons. Syria has no oil worth talking about. It's an agrarian nation, similar to Iraq. Remove an independent nation in order to establish greater Middle Eastern hegemony against Iran. And finally, the Yemen war. At least 10,000 deaths on a regular basis and control over the canal as a buffer against Iran. Again, it's about supporting Saudi Arabia against the majority of the Shiite population, when Saudi Arabia only supports Sunni in the most radical form, Wahhabism. So have you seen any of the presidential candidates, right or left, say we're against the Yemen war and supporting the slaughter of innocent people, destruction and violation of human rights and crimes against humanity? Not a one. Not a one. So until such time that these major genocides and crimes against humanity are addressed by the people who have been in power and remain in power, either as policymakers or opinion leaders, and remain at the core of the center of corporatized politics in America, then you shouldn't turn on any of those channels or read anything they say, because it's just propaganda. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for taking your time and listening in today. I'm Gary Noll. Have a nice day.
When it's cold outside.